This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott. This is the place where government actions come face-to-face with business decisions. Online at www.bgov.com. And, of course, on the air right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This week, we're going to revisit a story that a lot of you may have missed from a couple of weeks ago. Bloomberg reporter Kathleen Miller did a bit of digging into a little-known amendment that stated that the U.S. Army must outfit troops entering boot camp with American-made clothing. Well, there's one little catch. They can't find a company to provide sneakers and women's underwear, so they've improvised. Hear what she has to say and what Boston-based shoe manufacturer New Balance has accomplished thus far. But we'll kick off the broadcast with what Bloomberg Government Senior Transportation Analyst Matthew Hummer has noted as a boost in security spending as the result of a border surge. Matt, thanks for being here.
Alan, great to be here.
Immigration, obviously a hot topic now that Congress is back in session, and amidst all the talk of added security and measures to protect the border, and now we're dealing with a sequester at the same time, kind of in the midst of it. What has that done to the efforts, and what is Congress doing about changing the path that we're currently traveling on?
Well, basically, by introducing this amendment, it's a boon to defense contractors. While they were facing the sequestration cuts, this amendment actually provides $46.3 billion for defense contractors. And a lot of that would go to technology, surveillance equipment, and security equipment that these contractors provided in the Iraq and Afghanistan war. A lot of these technologies and devices will be used to actually secure the border. Something like almost 6,000 ground sensors made by Harris Corporation, Northrop Grumman, and Textron, those type of companies that make these equipment.
Over the next 10 years, we're talking about this happening over the next 10 years. Is that the maximum amount of time that this amendment will cover?
That's right. The money will be available for at least 10 years, mm-hmm. and that's the time frame by which it should be spent. However, the amendment calls for implementing this security strategy a lot sooner because it is, quote-unquote, referred to by a lot of politicians as the trigger to start the path to citizenship, which is for the 11 million undocumented in this country.
So you've got a really cool chart in here that outlines exactly what percentage of the funds is going to go to what and over how many years it'll take or the funding will be available. We're looking at border surge boosts security spending, 82% of BGov Insight by Senior Transportation Analyst Matthew Hummer, available now on BGov.com. Border Patrol agents, obviously 10 years. You're going to need them for the entire length of this particular amendment. Fencing strategy, that struck me as interesting as we're only looking at 5 years. Are they looking, the companies that they're looking to build these are pretty confident in the structures that they're going to assemble? Is that what we're talking about?
That's right. And you know what? They tried this before. They've built about 350 miles already, mm-hmm. And some companies that really benefited from that was Granite Construction, Kiewit Corporation, Tetra Tech. All these companies made money off the previous, which they spent about $2.4 billion. Now they're calling for spending about triple that to build at least another 350 miles. So altogether, about 700 miles between the U.S.-Mexican border. It's going to be kind of a boon for these construction builders.
Strategy implementation taking about 9.7%. Something that I'm not quite sure of, meeting border security outcomes. How is that defined, and what metrics are they going to use to track that? Because that's you're looking at a 10-year, using up 10 years' worth of money.
That's right. And this pot of money is set aside for the commission that's supposed to include government people, local stakeholders that are supposed to assess whether or not the strategy of security is actually working. And so they're going to use measurement outcomes. They haven't drafted what those are, but the idea is to ensure that they actually have an effective control over the primary core areas of the border where they know most of the illegal actually pass through. And so they'll use that money to beef up those areas, use more technology, use more fencing, whatever they need to do to achieve those outcomes.
Implementation funds for State Department makes sense. E-Verify, talking about using technology to move towards a better policing of our borders, so to speak. CSC is going to be a big winner. Microsoft as well. In the past, who are these are the same companies that they the incumbents, so to speak?
That's right. You know, in my estimation, you would think so. So in the last fiscal year, about $69 million was spent to roll out this plan to only about 7% of companies in the U.S. So this legislation is calling for rolling it out to all companies in the U.S. So if you think about it, while there's a lot of fixed costs setting up this database, which Computer Science Technology Corporation actually got the main contract, about $42 billion to set up this database, that will likely grow, and they'll likely get more work. Along with Microsoft, they got about $18 million last year, so that they could continue with their awards, and you know, who knows what other companies could enter the arena on that.
Implementation funds for other agencies rounds out funds available for 2 years. We're talking about other agencies involved in the law enforcement or policing of the border. Is that what that's for?
That's correct. You know, you got to think about the USDA and some other agencies that coordinate with the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security to implement this security strategy.
So along with E-Verify, we're talking about surveillance technology as well, which I found kind of interesting. That surveillance technology could include 15 Black Hawk helicopters.
That's correct.
That's pretty cool if you ask me.
That's correct. And 15, and then, you know, I think total there's about 40 helicopters that are actually specifically identified in the legislation, right, along with I think it's 30 Marine vessels.
So this has all been laid out and negotiated by Senator Bob Corker and John Hoeven of North Dakota. Do you envision full-scale Republican support around this?
Well, Alan, I think that was the idea. They introduced this amendment to really surge and provide and meet the demands of a lot of the House Republicans and other Republicans in the Senate that were calling for stricter border security. While they didn't go as far to say that all this has to be secure, the border has to be completely secure before the path to citizenship, mm-hmm. but by itemizing the material and items in the bill, gives it a little bit more teeth. And so some of the reactions so far in the House, it's interesting. Some of them are saying it's candy and it's too much. Others are saying it's not enough because they're not ensuring that the border is secure, they're just ensuring that money be spent.
Right.
So that's the difference, and we'll see how it plays out in the House.
Sounds like classic Republican versus Democrat to me.
You know it. You know it, Alan.
You're listening to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where my guest is Matthew Hummer. He's the senior transportation analyst with Bloomberg Government, and we're discussing his insight. Border surge boosts security spending 82%. Clearly, that's happening. $43 billion, $43.6 billion, in fact, on the table. Contractors are going to be pretty happy. What's next? What are the next steps in this process?
Well, the ball is really in the House, their court, really. I mean, Boehner has said that he's not going to take up a bill that the House Republicans don't fully support. That's known as the Hastert rule. Mm-hmm. And so basically their strategy is they're going to pursue piecemeal legislation. They've already done stuff on visas. They're going to continue on border security, and they're going to have multiple pieces of legislation that will go to conference and ultimately be married with the Senate bill. Or, you know, if support for this issue deteriorates, they could do nothing. And, you know, as a strategist, a political strategist might say that they would position to work on other issues, maybe corporate tax reform in exchange for moving this bill forward. Or, you know, like I said, or they could try to take up the Senate bill, which the House said they won't do. So there's really three options.
This Hastert, unspoken rule, so to speak, 234, the majority of the 234 is what they need to push things forward. If they keep bumping into this hurdle, this Hastert rule hurdle, do you envision rules changing?
You know, Alan, it would be tough to see that rule change in this House and in this Congress.
It's tough to make any decisions in this House and in this Congress.
True that. I really think, though, if you look at this particular issue, it's very clear the way the Senate was able to get a bipartisan deal done, that the nation altogether is for moving this issue forward. But when it comes down to the House and the fact that they are, you know, adherent to their districts, right, it's a lot different of a beast down there. So we'll see. You know, we're all looking forward to it.
All right. Only time will tell. Matt, thanks for being here.
Sure, Alan. Happy to be here.
On July 3rd, U.S. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew spoke to a group of brand-new American citizens about immigration reform. He said the bill would help lower budget deficits, put entitlement programs on more stable financial footing, and boost consumer demand.
Now, there's a bipartisan immigration bill before Congress that would fix our broken immigration system. This comprehensive legislation does a number of things. It strengthens our borders, It provides a pathway to earn citizenship for the 11 million people who are here illegally, and it will boost economic growth. The bill will drive growth by bringing highly skilled scientists, engineers, and entrepreneurs to the United States. At the same time, the bill will create a new wave of consumers who will fuel demand and generate economic activity. The effect will be enormous. More new businesses, more new jobs, and more exports. We also will see our deficits shrink. With added workers on the payroll, Social Security and Medicare will be put on more stable footing. In fact, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, this legislation will lower our deficits by nearly $1 trillion over the next two decades. So it's important for our economy and for who we are as a people that we reform our immigration system.
Recently, Bloomberg government hosted an event by the National Restaurant Association. Speaking at the event were California Democrat Zoe Lofgren and Florida Republican Mario Diaz-Balart. They spoke with Bloomberg Television's Peter Cook about E-Verify.
E-Verify. If I own a restaurant somewhere in this country and I've got 15 employees, which I think probably the National Restaurant Association can attest that they've got some members who represent exactly that kind of scenario, what will be my obligation? What should be my obligation, do you all personally believe, in terms of this E-Verify system and verifying that their workers are indeed legal? And how satisfied are you that the technology can actually keep pace by trying to impose this nationwide? Right now, it's a voluntary system, 450,000 businesses. Big leap to go across the country.
We're not going to talk again about the bill, but I'll just tell you what I think. I have resisted the deployment of E-Verify for many years, and I would say successfully worked to keep the E-Verify bill off the House floor. My position was that if you E-Verify, for example, the ag workforce, you'll find out something we already know, which is, you know, two-thirds of them don't have their documents, and if you find that out and they all leave, American agriculture collapses, and so you really haven't solved a good problem there. However, if we come up with a workable system to meet the economic needs of America, I think E-Verify will be part of the enforcement system. The E-Verify needs to be contingent on a workable system. We've made some strides in the technology. You can now do E-Verify with a cell phone. It needs to be something that is doable for American businesses. The bigger problem is in the database. There is an error rate of about, well, for every, about 94% of the people who are come in are authorized. 6% who are dinged are actually American or legal residents able to work. Well, that's an error rate that if you transpose it across the entire workforce, it's a lot of Americans. So there has to be, not only do we need to work to get the database better, but we need to make sure that if an American is dinged, they have some rights, they don't lose their job in some kind of process. So we're working through that, and I think that we can work through that. And I sort of reached the conclusion personally that if we come up with this workable system, we've got to accept that it's going to be enforced, and E-Verify will likely be part of it.
Congressman, any different thoughts on that?
No, absolutely. We have absolute agreement that, you know, we have to have a workable system, and then that workable system has to be enforceable and enforced, which is why you understand how difficult this is. The easy thing is to just talk and, you know, just criticize or whatever. The difficult thing is coming up with solutions that work for business, that work for our economy, that secure our border, and that protect the rule of law. That's why it's been a very lengthy, difficult process, but I think going to get there.
Representative Zoe Lofgren and Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida discussing E-Verify and immigration at the Immigration Policy Outlook event in Washington, D.C., held back in June. To learn more about Bloomberg government, simply call us at 877-498-3587. Bloomberg government.
Bloomberg government.
Where business and politics come together. You're listening to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And now I'd like to bring you a story that originally aired on July 4th. Some of you, probably busy, didn't get a chance to hear it, so I thought it was worth repeating. Bloomberg's Kathleen Miller is a reporter who did some digging into a story around what's called the Berry Amendment. This is a rule that states that the U.S. Army is to completely outfit, or as best they can, recruits with as many American-made products as possible. So when they originally come in, they're to be handed a duffel bag filled with stuff that's been made in America. Well, for the most part, they're able to do it, with the exception of women's underwear and sneakers.
Thanks for having me, Alan. I appreciate it.
So I'm reading this, you know, I'm feeling rather patriotic as I'm going, welcome to that. They're forcing you, they're giving you American products, yet some essential products are missing from this bag. They're giving you money to go out and buy whatever you want.
Exactly.
And it may not necessarily be American, kind of skirting the law.
That's right. Yeah, and that's what, you know, the House of Representatives just decided. Just last month, they passed an amendment to defense spending legislation that would require the Pentagon to give new recruits American-made sneakers, or ensure that that's what they're putting on their feet. Right now, they just kind of steer clear of the whole issue by giving recruits vouchers and saying, you know, go to the military exchange stores, get the footwear, the athletic footwear that you need for boot camp, and, you know, if it happens to be Nike, so be it. And Nike has told me they do not have any 100% American-made shoes.
Right. That's interesting, considering a couple of different things. Number one, they're not including American-made shoes, and there are American shoe companies out there, one really big one who is now forcing them to follow the rules, and we'll get into that in just a second. And the second one is that the base exchange is carrying things that skirt the law to begin with. I'm a little baffled by that. But getting back to the topic at hand, New Balance, a company that has been in existence now since 1906, well before the Buy American law was put into place, is now raising their hand going, hello, look at me, look at me. Have they managed to push the bar at all?
Yeah, I mean, they said they just found out about the Berry Amendment and the fact that recruits weren't getting American-made sneakers about 5 years ago. And they were kind of shocked, and they thought, well, hey, this should be easy. We've got this law. We've got some American-made shoes. You know, let's get soldiers into those shoes. And it hasn't been that easy.
Right.
It took about 3 years, they said, of hardcore lobbying, and they teamed up with companies like Wolverine Worldwide, which is, I think, more known for some of their work boots and stuff that can also make American-made athletic footwear, and you know, just had this big success in the House of Representatives last month.
1906 is when the company came around. I did a little digging on New Balance, our heritage, if I take a look at NewBalance.com. In 1906, William Riley was inspired by, do you know what he was inspired by?
I think it's a chicken foot, right?
A chicken foot! You got it. A chicken foot to create a new way to meet the needs of consumers in motion. Now more than 100 years later, still American-made in Massachusetts, and the only American-made athletic shoe company in existence in the United States at this point. And they're pushing the bar, as well they should, considering the Berry Amendment. Now, do you think Congress is on board? They're saying, yeah, this is great. But will there be detractors saying, you know what, this is our voucher. We're giving them. It's our money, so to speak. Should they be a bargain shop?
Well, you know, some economists that I interviewed said just that. Look, as we all know, this is a hard time for the federal government. They're trying to cut costs everywhere they can. And, you know, price should be the driver of all the Pentagon's decisions. Under sequestration, you know, they're trying to find savings wherever they can. And if they find a shoe made outside the country that meets the needs of new recruits and it's cheaper, they should go for that.
All right. Well, only time will tell so far. We're speaking to Kathleen Miller. She's a reporter for Bloomberg who's written Sneakers to Women's Underwear for Troops Skirt by American Law. We've covered the sneaker aspect. There's a quote in here. I think women are probably more particular about their underwear than men. I would have to say that's pretty, that's a fair statement. So
I'm married. My husband would definitely agree with that, too.
I had the opportunity to go underwear shopping with my wife over the weekend.
Lucky man.
So the guys out there who may not have significant others who have never gone through this process, it's not as glorious as one may think. Trust me on this. Boxers. You just throw boxers or briefs at a man. Mm-hmm. Women, they're actually giving them a choice. Is that the right thing to do? Or where should we go with this?
You know, what kind of surprised me is I interviewed a number of female vets, and they were telling me, you know, to be honest, boot camp in general is not about choice. You know, you're told what to do, what to wear, how to do your hair, you know, no makeup, this, that, and the other.
That's really the military in general.
Right, and they're like,
not
you
just
know.
Boot camp.
Right, and so they would not, they said they wouldn't really be outraged if they were told you have to wear these American-made shoes. They said if you're going through that, you're not expecting to have all these options before you in the first place. And they said as long as the quality is good, as long as the quality is not suffering, you know, that they'd be happy to wear American-made shoes. I was kind of surprised. I expected them to, tell me that they didn't want anyone picking out their underwear.
A lot of money in vouchers is being spent on stuff that's not made in America.
Mm-hmm.
You've got in here the Air Force spends about $3.9 million on vouchers, according to Colonel Laurel Tingley, a spokeswoman for the service. 30,000 recruits get $75 each year for sneakers.
That's right.
Anywhere. You can buy them at the military exchange. You could probably go off base. I guess it won't work off base since it's a voucher.
Right, and also because you're in boot camp and they won't let you
point.
Off base,
you're
I guess.
You're a prisoner at that point.
Yeah.
Interesting story. I mean, does this impact the supplies that that the military may have on hand for things like shoes? Are people – would the range of options be larger than – typical, should they decide to stick with the Buy American law?
Well, Wayne Hall, a spokesman for the Army, did make that point to me when I spoke to him about this. He said, God, can you just imagine the range of sizes that we would have to keep in stock to fit all the different bodies of women that come through here if we got into the business of women's underwear. You know, with men, he said, it's a lot more straightforward. Men's underwear tends to be based on, waist sizes. So he said small, medium, large, extra large, what have you. They can just put it in people's clothing bags that they get at boot camp. But with women, he thought it could get quite complicated.
We know that Nike has spoken, New Balance has spoken out about this because they are American-made. Have any of the other manufacturers stepped up and started lobbying going, but wait, my price point is better or my quality is better? You want them to be able to run and keep their feet healthy. Use my shoes.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question. I did reach out to Nike and said, you know, what do you guys have to say about this? And they actually declined to comment. I think they realized, this is not a battle that they necessarily want to fight, just because, it's almost July 4th. they're based in Oregon, so their headquarters are in the U.S., but they're upfront about the fact that they don't offer any 100% American-made shoes.
All right. Well, they're not trying to skirt the system in any way, but apparently the military is, and Kathleen will be there to call them on it.
We'll see. See what happens in the Senate and whether the president gets excited about this. I know 15 senators sent President Obama a letter in April just saying, you know what, do exactly what the House just did. We want you to require the military to put new recruits in American-made shoes. Yeah. And we'll see.
You think after reading those correspondence, he called upstairs to the living quarters and said, Michelle, could you hide my Nikes? Put those Sauconys away for me.
Oh, that's funny. I haven't checked out the president's shoes.
Time to check out the president's footwear. It's Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact. Her name is Kathleen Miller, writer with Bloomberg News, that is. Mm-hmm. Sneakers to Women's Underwear for Troops, Skirt by American Law. Check it out on Bloomberg.com. Kathleen, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Alan. It was a pleasure.
Well, that puts another show in the books. Make sure you check out Capital Gains, hosted by Peter Cook, on WUSA TV9. That's immediately following Face the Nation, Sunday mornings at 11:30. Follow us on Twitter, @BGov. Follow me, @AlanL. Scott, for show updates and plenty more. We'll be back next Thursday, because we've always got plenty to say about the business impact of government actions. For BGov's Capital Impact, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, I'm Alan Scott.